Well, hello, and welcome to Omni Vitae. This is episode number two, or episode number one, I guess, depending on how you look at it. That first episode, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to it if this is your first time. But that first one was just an introductory episode. This is this podcast, Omni Vitae. It is about all of life. Omni Vitae is a Latin term that means all of life. And so my desire is to talk about all of life from the perspective of a millennial, from the perspective of a father, of a husband, of a Christian, and a nonprofit fundraiser. And so one of the things, actually, before I really even dive into anything meaningful, when I went back and listened to my first episode, it might sound like I was talking quietly. It might even sound like I'm talking quietly now, and that's because I am, because I have a almost 10-month-old baby girl who is asleep, and I would rather not wake her. And so right out the gate, you get that kind of that perspective of the all-of-life thing from a father, and the perspective of being a father, because I do not want to wake my daughter. That is not going to be fun for me. It's not going to be fun for my wife. And then when it's not fun for my wife, it's also going to not be fun for me again. And so I am talking a little bit quiet. I apologize if it sounds that way. I apologize if you listened to that first podcast and it sounded like I was talking quietly. But actually, that whole little interlude actually kind of ties into, excuse me, what I would like to talk about in this first episode, and that is what it's like being a new parent, what that has been like for me. My daughter, her name is Ella, and she was born on April the 12th, 2018 at 6:02 a.m. I believe it's 6:02. It might be 6:04. My wife's going to listen to this, and she's going to correct me. For some reason, I just have such a hard time. 6:02, 6:04, I'm not sure. Maybe it was because I was up all night. I was pretty tired and pretty in a daze by the time our beautiful Ella came into this world. But she was born on April the 12th. She is today, as I'm recording, I believe it is February the 6th, actually. And so at this point, she is just about 10 months old, and that is kind of crazy to me. I can still remember the day she was born. I can remember holding her in my arms, and she looked like just a perfect little baby doll. She was only 6 pounds 15 ounces, and so she could really, when she was bundled up, she could really fit right into one of my arms, and it was just a really sweet thing, and it was also kind of convenient, if that makes sense, just because I could really kind of go around, do what I needed to do, and just hold my baby girl right in my arm right there. And but she really seemed so perfect. Maybe that's a parent thing, but I remember looking at her, and she just looked like a perfect little baby doll, or a perfect little angel, would be more like how I felt. And so I still remember that day. I remember what it was like. I remember my dad being the champ that he is, and he sat in the waiting room the entire night. My wife went into labor at about 11-ish o'clock the night before. We showed up at the hospital, I think about 11, if I remember right. And my dad, I texted him, you know, and told him, hey, we're in for it's going to be a little bit of of time before this happens. And he said, well, I'm coming. And so he stayed and slept in the hotel, he slept in the hospital waiting room for the entire time. Luckily, my wife, was a champ, and she delivered our daughter by 6 a.m. this morning, or that morning. And, I still think that seeing my wife, and getting to experience, and not experiencing it the way she did, obviously, and I won't even begin to claim that I did, but my experience being in that room with my wife was still one of the most impressive things that I've ever seen in my life. Man, if you're listening to this, if you are a father, or if you would like to be a father, if you are already a father, then you will agree with me. And if you're going to be a father, if you hope to be one, then you will learn this, that that women are amazing, amazing, amazing creatures. I don't know if creature sounds like a bad term, but they're amazing humans. To be able to do just everything about it, it is amazing. The pregnancy, all of the things that you learn. I remember we went to this class that was kind of, it's kind of prepare you for the birth. It wasn't like Lamaze or whatever. I don't even know if that's still a term, but I know that I remember as a kid watching these, you'd watch these movies and like the husband is at like this Lamaze class, which almost looks like this sort of pregnant yoga class or something. I don't even know, but that I have no idea what Lamaze actually is. I just have like this faint idea. And that's actually what I thought that the class was going to be like. But when we showed up, it wasn't that at all. It was basically a classroom setting. And they were just talking about a lot of the labor process, talking about what to expect, and then what to expect even when they came out of the womb. And I remember sitting in this class and just really being in awe of the way that that whole process of pregnancy, from pregnancy to labor to delivery to the mother's care after the fact, and the way that the mother's body has really just been, I think on a very real and practical level, has been created for that purpose, and it's an amazing thing. And I remember being in there and learning things like the fact that when a woman first gives birth, and one of the very first things that they want to do is the doctors will try to take the baby and give it to the mother for what they call skin-to-skin contact. And I used to think, well, they just kind of do that for comfort or whatever, and that is true to a sense. But I remember sitting in that class and learning that the reason that they do the skin-to-skin contact so quickly is basically because the whole birthing process and delivering process is very traumatic for a baby, as you can well imagine what that would be like if you were conscious through it. I would say that would be a pretty traumatic experience to kind of get spit out of the home you've had for the last 9 months into a whole new world. But it can be pretty traumatic for the baby. And so they do the skin-to-skin contact because our skin smells like the amniotic fluid that is in the womb with the baby. And so it comforts them. And I remember learning that in this class, and I was just amazed. I was just amazed. And I remember also learning that after the fact, when a mother is nursing her baby, if the baby is sick, then the saliva from the baby's mouth will tell the mother and will tell the mother's body to create a milk that has a certain amount of, I'm not medical, so I might use some wrong terminology, but basically it will create a special milk that is designed to help the baby restore health and fight off the infection. And I think that is just amazing. I'm really thankful for that even now. And because my daughter right now actually is sick, and she's been sick. And so I'm so thankful that every single time that my wife sits down to nurse her, her body, without my wife really having anything to do with it, her body is just naturally creating basically a special milk designed to help Ella be restored to full health. And I think that's amazing. And I remember almost feeling like it was just a worship experience, or the opportunity sitting in those classes to really see the glory of God in that whole process. And during that whole teaching, I think, man, I saw the glory of God. But in that labor room, it was kind of the culmination of it, because my wife was just an absolute champ. I'm not going to go into detail of what all of that was like, but she was amazing. And it was still just one of the most impressive things that I've ever seen in my entire life. And I try every opportunity I have to thank her for being willing to do that for the sake of our daughter. And so I wanted to talk about, it's maybe a long introduction, but I wanted to talk a little bit about what it's been like to be a new parent. And to be honest with you, in the very beginning, it is very hard. In the very beginning with a new baby, it is very hard. And I remember being angry, and not really angry, but kind of, you know, kind of funny angry. But I remember saying, nobody told me this. Nobody told me it was going to be this hard, right? Everybody lied to me. I remember feeling that way. Maybe people did tell me. I know people would tell you, y'all, they would make kind of hearty horror rib jabbing jokes about getting sleep or those types of things. But I remember feeling like nobody told me what it's really like. Nobody told me that you're going to bring a baby home and you're going to all of a sudden be left to care for it, and you're not going to have any idea what you're doing. and nobody told me that the baby's going to cry and cry and cry, and you have no ability to even begin to understand why. I remember when I got married, and everybody made a lot of jokes about how much marriage would change your life, and certainly it did, but not like having a baby. Not like having a baby. Getting married was, at least in the beginning, it was just like getting a different roommate. I had had roommates. Now this one was pretty. I liked being around her a little more than my other roommates that I'd had. No offense to any of them if they happen to listen to this, but I do like living with my wife better than I like living with y'all. Except for one of my friends, I still enjoy living with my wife more than him, but I did enjoy fending off rats in one of our houses. And with one of my friends, that was quite an experience. I don't want to share everything that we did, because I might end up probably end up getting some type of animal rights person that would be pretty upset if I shared on this podcast how we were basically hunting rats that had infested the house we lived in. So but as fun as that was, I do enjoy living with my wife better than any of those guys. She smells a lot better than pretty much all of them too. So I remember when I got married, and it was really like you got a new roommate, and there was some difficulties or some awkwardness, but really marriage for me, it when you first get married, it's just kind of a new thing, and you have a new roommate. But when you get a new baby, it is not like that at all. The term, right? They come in like a bull in a china shop. I'm convinced that the person who coined that term might have been describing what it was like having a newborn, because all of a sudden, my world was flipped upside down. And you sleep when she sleeps. You eat when she eats. You do everything all of a sudden according to the timetable of this little amazing and helpless human that just needs you. And it's challenging. I actually remember telling my wife, and I have made a pact to say, I am going to be honest with my friends, as honest as I can be, about what that period at the beginning was like, just because maybe people were honest with me and I didn't listen to them. But I was like, I was so angry, and not really angry, like I said, but I was just like, man, nobody really told me. And I walked into this thing blindfolded, and so I'm telling everybody what it's really like. And so I have a couple friends who have a son right now who is in the earlier months. I don't know exactly how old he is at this point, but they would agree that, yeah, it's challenging. And in fact, they've experienced it even a little longer than we did. And then I've got another friend. I actually have a sister-in-law, and then a couple of our best friends who are both pregnant and are about to, their due dates are right about the same time. And when I've had opportunities, I've really shared, like, look, it's tough. It's really tough in the beginning, especially, I guess, especially once you're first one, I only have one, but it's tough. And so, so that first part of being a new parent is really tough. I know I just said that about seven times, and I'm breaking the public speaking rule of repeating the same word over and over again. But that's really the only word I could think of. It's tough. It's challenging in the beginning, and it took me really about 6 months. Is what I've typically said. It really took me about 6 months of Ella being a part of our world and a part of my world before I could really start learning how to function again. I'm a pretty orderly person, kind of OCD. And there might be people who listen to this who know me that are going to be like, kinda OCD. My wife, she'll listen to it. She'll be like, oh, a little bit more than kinda OCD. But I have a pretty strict sort of schedule. And it's not always something I write out, but it's something that I do. So every day, I go to bed at night. And with the nature of my job, I can sometimes fluctuate when I go to work in the morning. And so I usually go to work around 8, anywhere from 8 to 10, depending on what I've done the night before, how late I've worked, and how late I'm going to have to work that next day. And so every night before I go to bed, I will think about what time I'm going to work. I will think about what time I need to wake up. I will give myself a half an hour to sort of get myself together. And then I will give myself an hour to spend time reading the Bible. And then I will take a shower and eat breakfast and get ready. And I'm usually cutting it too short. So by the time I'm like everybody else, I'm kind of running out the door, sort of blowing air kisses at my wife and my daughter. But I'm a pretty strict person when it comes to those types of things. And the baby, having a baby, does not allow that at all. If you are a person who needs control, if you're a person who needs order, if you're a person who needs stability, at least a certain sense of stability, I'm not going to tell you don't have kids, because I think everybody who is married, who's in a good place, should have and pursue children. But I'm telling you that if you're like me, it's going to be challenging in the beginning. And so 6 months in, I started being able to function again. And now we're at about, like I said, almost 10 months. And my daughter is just so beautiful. And it's an amazing thing to learn, to watch her learn every day. And to know that she's right at the point now where she actually will call me. She'll call me dad. She doesn't say dad. She says dad, but not in reference to me. But she calls me dad. And if I come into her room, if I come home, she'll look right at me and she'll say, "Dah." The other night she was crying in her bed, in her crib. It was early in the morning. It was practically late at night. It was like 6 a.m. and it was a weekend, I think. But it was, I knew she was ready to get up. So I just had to get up and get her up. And so I grabbed her and pulled her out. And she just looked at me and went, "Dah," and had a smile on her face. And so those things are just so cool. For just the first time the other day, she kind of took some crawling steps. She's been army crawling, but for the first time, she kind of got up on her hands and her knees and began to crawl. And so there's just amazing things that come with being a parent. It's consistently challenging. It's a consistently an experience of learning to put another before yourself. Marriage does that, and then children do that to an even greater degree. And one of the things, as she's getting older, that I'm beginning to think about is the topic of discipline. And I think that discipline is one of those things that can be challenging. You know, I think that a lot of people, so right, I've said that I'm a millennial, I'm 25 years old, I'm kind of right in that place. And a lot of people our age had parents and or grandparents that were probably that were disciplinarians, I guess, to put it mildly, or to put it clearly, that they were disciplinarians. Sometimes that could have varied. Camps, I guess, would be an appropriate term when it comes to discipline, at least the way I see it. And one camp is a very hard disciplinarian type of situation. And then the other side is almost a rebelling against that, I think, sort of bouncing off of that strict disciplinarian style. And then coming to the other side where they say, "I'm not going to discipline my kids at all. I just want to be their friend." And so I'm in this place where trying to learn as a parent what this looks like. And then I'm, you know, you're kind of working through, okay, well, you might say, "Well, Brandon, your daughter's 10 months old. How much discipline does she need?" And maybe you're right. But I'm starting to think about those things and starting to think about how to even implement them now. And I think that one of the things that I think is clear, I'm a Christian. I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. I believe that that we have a God who is personal and who speaks. And I think that when it comes to the Bible is going to speak about the need for parents to discipline their children. If you were to read, for instance, the book of Proverbs, and you're going to see all throughout the book of Proverbs the need for the consistent encouragement or exhortation for parents to discipline their children. And it's going to give a variety of different ways of saying that, but basically it's going to say that. It's going to say, "Hey, look, you got to discipline your kids." One of the almost a passage from Proverbs, and I don't have the exact citation on hand, but the text itself that most of us have heard, it's almost a text in popular culture at this point, is "Spare the rod and spoil the child," right? That's the idea, is you know, spare the rod, spoil the child. And I think that is true to a certain extent. And so one of the things that I'm thinking through now as a young parent is how do I do this? Because I'll lay my cards on the table. I'm not necessarily saying that my dad, if my dad's listening to this or somebody knows my dad was not one of these type of people who was over the top. He was certainly the authority, but there was people, I mean, you hear crazy stories about people who, you know, I don't know if they're crazy, but there was a time when it was normal for a person to like go pick a switch, for a person to, it was not uncommon for, just physical discipline to take place. And I'm not a fan of that. I'm not a fan of that. I think that I don't think that disciplining your kids is an excuse to lose control. I don't think that authority is ever meant to be used, to be wielded against those underneath us. Jesus says that he tells his disciples, they come around him and he asks, you know, which one of us is the greatest? And he says, well, look, the greatest among you must make himself the servant of everyone. He must make himself the least. And so that means if God has given me authority over my daughter, well, that's the authority to serve her. It's not authority that I get to use to wield against her and to use at my discretion. And so these are a lot of the things I'm thinking through. I think discipline is necessary. You know, so I'm my wife and I were pushing away from the mentality that discipline is bad. I just want to be their friends. I don't buy into that. I don't think that's going to get us where we want to be. I think that's going to be detrimental to my daughter. Because we live in a world of authority, and if you don't know, learn. If she doesn't learn how to function underneath of authority in a healthy way, she's going to have a hard time. And I think that's a reality of the world that we live in. She's going to have bosses. She's going to have teachers. She's going to have coaches if she plays sports. She's going to have instructors. She's going to have people over her for basically her entire life, and ultimately she lives underneath God's authority at all times. And so it's an opportunity to teach her how to live appropriately with an authority. But it's also an opportunity to teach her how one in authority ought to act. And so one of the things that I've been thinking about is the Bible talks about how God disciplines his children. And in the context of Hebrews chapter 12, I want to read just a little passage. And again, my desire with this podcast is not necessarily to be all the time sort of a Christian teaching podcast, but I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been saved by his grace. And so this is going to be part of my life. If the podcast is named Omnivitae, meaning all of life, from all of the different elements of life, for me, this is an element of life. And so looking at Hebrews chapter 12 here in the Bible, I'm going to read just a short passage. This is talking about how God disciplines his children. And it says this, starting with verse 7. The scripture says, "It is for discipline that you have to endure." And the author to the Hebrews is talking to Christians. He says, "It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and respected them, and we respected them, excuse me. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." And that last verse is the one that's really been in my mind. And so I'm on this journey, and I'm thinking about being a new parent and what that looks like. And my wife and I have already kind of gone through some difficult stages, some amazingly wonderful and cute stages, but some difficult stages. And we're starting to now think, because our daughter interacts with us. She starts responding. She'll wave back at us. She is showing signs of awareness and an ability to interact. And she's not far, I think. I could be wrong. There might be some person who's a doctor or something listening to this who is gonna offer a very different opinion. And I'm open to being wrong, but I think that she's at a stage, or she is getting close to it at least, where we want to start thinking about discipline. And the key point, I think, is this, because I think there could be a perspective There could be somebody listening to this and they would say, why are you trying to discipline your 10-month-old daughter, right? And it almost sounds like I'm just a glutton for authority, or it's my desire to just immediately start usurping authority and usurping discipline on my daughter. And if that's your feeling, I just want to say, because that would have been my feeling at one point too, I think. And I just want to say that the reason I'm talking this way and doing these things has everything to do with how the Bible talks about discipline, particularly in this passage. Because the last verse I talked about says this: for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And I think that last, not the exact last word, but that word, the idea of being trained by it. And that's what's in my mind at this point as I'm walking through this and thinking about discipline. That discipline is not necessarily something that is punitive. And I think that's how we usually think of it. And so if I only think about discipline as being punitive, and then I think about my 10-month-old daughter, then it's like, I can understand, okay, well, wait, look, yeah, she does some stuff she doesn't really know what she's doing. So how can I discipline, how can I be punitively disciplining her? And I get that. To a certain extent, I get that. But the difference is that I don't think that discipline is punitive. I don't think it's merely punitive, and I don't even think at its core it is punitive. At least not when it is a parent to a child, whether it's God as the parent and believers in Christ as the children, or whether it's a father and a daughter, a father and a son, mother, daughter, mother, son. It's not punitive, but it's training. Well, training for what? Well, training for righteousness. It's training for righteousness. And so what that means is, for instance, when my daughter, she was just going through this 9-month period where she learned how to pull herself up in the bed, and she also has separation anxiety. Oh, and she can't get back down when she gets up in the bed. So what she does is she wakes up in the middle of the night, she freaks out because we're not around, she pulls herself up in the bed, and then she stands and she cries because she can't go back down. So it's really a perfect storm, and we are waking up 4, 5, 6 times a night. And basically through reading some blogs and getting some ideas, my wife and I came up with this strategy where we were going to basically go in there and we were just going to pick her up and lay her back down. And we were just going to do it over and over and over and over again. And so I said I would go first. And so I went in there the first night she stood up in the bed. I walked up to her. I leaned into her ear and I said, I love you, but it's time for bed. And so I picked her up and I laid her down. She wasn't happy about that. And so she proceeded to voice her displeasure the way babies do. And she did it rather aggressively. And she stood up again, and I walked up to her. I said, I love you, but it's time for bed. And so I laid her back down. And we did this, proceeded to do this. And I did it 35 times. So if you want to, if you're not a parent yet and you want a glimpse, there it is. I did that 35 times. I counted because a woman online said she had to do it 50 times the first time. So I was feeling pretty good, about 35. But about 40 minutes later, she woke up again and my wife went in and did it this time. And she didn't count, but she thinks she did over 50. So nearly 100 times when you add those together. We did that nearly 100 times that first night. But what were we doing? Were we disciplining my daughter with what we were doing? I would say yes. Yes, but not punitively. But we're training her. Training her that when it's time to sleep, it's time to sleep. You need to sleep so that you can get full sleep, so that you can be rested, so that you can function throughout the day. And she's going to need that. In life, she's going to need that as she grows up and she starts going to school. She's going to need that if she gets out of school, and would decide to go to college. And she's going to, when she goes to the workforce and a healthy sleep habit As much as maybe I still don't do it even that well myself, I will admit that. But it is a good habit. It's a good discipline, and we are training her for righteousness, training her for good, solid principles of life to be instilled in her. And I think we can start doing that at even 10 months. That's where we are. We have been a new parent for 10 months, and it's been an amazing journey and a challenging journey, and I'm looking forward to continuing to learn and continuing to grow in my understanding and continuing to learn how to discipline my daughter in such a way that it is training for righteousness. Because that is how I believe, as a follower of Jesus, as a son of God, I believe that that's what God's word tells me. That's how he disciplines me. So thank you guys for listening to this episode. I'd love to hear feedback from you. Feel free to comment in the ways that you can, either on social media or just even to me personally. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks, guys. See you next time.